Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Character Reveal. It's that show where we reveal people's characters and tell you why they're cool and all that kind of stuff. As always, it's me, it's your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all around the internet. And once again, I am joined by the most wonderful co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hey all, it's me, it's Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, The Snow Queer on Tumblr, some other stuff, various other places on the internet, and we have another awesome guest for you guys today. Do you want to introduce yourself, Paul?
Hi, I'm Paul Veer. My unpronounceable nickname. Pizza Pete on Twitter and other places. I'm a pixel artist, mostly indie games. One really big game.
Okay, that's very nice. Cool. It'll probably be in the description, but... Before we get into all the things that make you the super talented, famous person on our show. But yeah, how are you doing today, Paul?
I'm good. I'm a bit tired because we woke up at 5 a.m. and usually I go back to sleep. but this time I had like a lot of work to do, so I figured I would get up and just get all the work done before doing this podcast with you guys. So,
hey, well, we appreciate your time.
Because it's relatively early where you are, right?
Yeah, early. It is almost 5 now.
Okay, yeah, we're coming up on like 8 p.m., so, you know, it's all good. You know, time zones, we're able to fight through them as long as, you know, people have flexible schedules.
Yeah, exactly.
So is what you're working on today, is that... art stuff or?
Yeah, it was art stuff.
That's really vague.
I can't like talk about it
can't
in detail
say more than...
at all. Yeah,
that's
it's just
fair.
Starting on a new project and like trying some concept stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really exciting actually because, my job I wrapped up fairly early this year.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from like some small things. And then I haven't been working for like months, so actually working again is like pretty nice.
Yeah.
It feels good to be productive, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, being productive is always a fun thing. I'm back, sorry about that.
Hey. I had no idea. For me, you just like disappeared because it like stuttered before you went away and then you were just gone. So I was like, oh, what's happening?
I was just having like a noise problem, some other thing, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Besides the roads, that's always our running gag, is that we both live on roads, so.
Oh yeah, me too actually. Like I live next to a road and a pub, so it's noisy.
Well, so I mean, that's pretty fancy. Is it a nice pub by chance?
It's okay. Like, I've only been there once, but it's okay.
Okay. Not much of
a rave review.
Not much of a drinking man, then?
No, I am, actually. I shouldn't say that, probably, but not at that pub, no.
Oh, okay.
Mostly at home, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fair. It's cheaper, it's more convenient.
Exactly. Can have people over.
Exactly. Have you had anything decent to drink this season?
Dom's all about the seasonal beers.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I'm such a hipster with it.
No, really? It's great, dude. Like, I mean, Vancouver has a ton of microbreweries and stuff, so there's some good stuff here. There's one that me and Alexa, my girlfriend, both really like. Which is like a plum sour. It's really good.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living in my heyday down here in the great city of Pittsburgh, bringing in beers from New York, I guess. you know, we have breweries, but Pittsburgh has a very specific flavor that it likes to cultivate, and it's not
right.
It's not craft. It's just, hey, if we could do Budweiser but worse, that's what our town beers come
out. Oh, no.
We actually have real breweries, though. I'm just being a hard ass, but anything like pumpkin, fall related, like I'm drinking something that's salted caramel right now. It says it's that.
I haven't tried any of that yet, but that sounds good.
It's good. It's nice and strong. It gets you going.
Mm-hmm.
people say it's so expensive. I'm like, actually, it's twice as strong for less than twice the price. So, like, not that expensive after all.
Yeah, there you go.
And Steph, you can find the drink again now that it's post-con season, right?
Yeah, I was on, like, a very... I was on, like, the, like, most, like, nutritionist-friendly, like, healthy diet because I was going... I had a con... I was at New York Comic Con last weekend, so I was, like, trying to eat right so it would look good in my costume.
Okay.
And now I'm, like, we literally ordered a pizza, like, on the way home from the con.
Nice, that's the way to do it.
And, like, cheesy bread, yeah. And I have eaten just garbage since then.
That's so. Probably, like, the best tasting pizza ever.
It was so good.
It's something about that first one after a long break of anything, no matter what it is, it just feels so amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I guess we can probably get into some specific things, but I'll do my trademark segues. So, This has been an amazing year for video games, I'd have to say. If nothing else in the world is good, at least video games have been...
It's been crazy.
Since January, it's just been a nonstop, at least every 2 weeks, at least some big game, whether indie or AAA, I'd say, right?
Yeah, it's nuts.
And you actually were involved with, like, some anniversary-type pictures or something?
Yeah, or, like, art books? There's this art dealership in the Netherlands where I'm originally from, and they're called Cook & Becker.
Okay.
And they do, like, these, like, prints from artists in the games industry. So they do both just, like, big, like, promotional and concept art pieces from big games, like Horizon, for example. And then they do... original pieces by artists who work in the games industry. So I got to know them a bit, and then I did a print for them once.
That's a site I have a huge fear of, because it's all, like, quality premium things. And so it's a high end, and you're like, ooh, I don't know if I can afford this, but the longer I look at it, the more I'm going to rationalize it, and rent's coming, so...
They're pretty pricey, but they are, yeah, they're beautiful prints. Just like museum quality stuff, really, like in terms of how long the color stays perfect and stuff like that. It's really nice.
See, that's my goal of getting, like, a lot of money. Like, four things I want to do when I get a lot of money, you know. Mm-hmm. Parents a car, parents a house, pay off the school loans, those are the three big things. But then the fourth is just, like... buy stuff that's totally material, but the joy that I would get from just looking at it would be
yeah, exactly. Like, sometimes you just gotta get stuff like that.
Yeah, people say material possessions are bad. It's like, it's not about the possession, it's about looking at it. That's the real prize.
It makes you happy.
So much of the rush comes from actually, like, getting it the first time and, like, use it, like, touching it or, like, whatever it is for the first time.
Oh, yeah,
like...
absolutely. That was a huge part of why I used to buy figurines a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, I'm packing it, like, playing with it a little bit, and then, like, they put it on a shelf, and then it just collects dust for a while.
Yeah, I did that. And the dumbest thing is that I bought all, this, like, whole range of Sailor Moon figurines, like, all nine Sailor Scouts, and They're awesome. They're beautiful. They're posable. They have, like, tons of different, like, props and faces and, like, hands and stuff that you can put on them.
Mm-hmm.
But when I posed them the first time, I put everything that I wanted them to do together and then kept the other stuff in the boxes. And so now, like, through, like, two or three apartments, I have just, like, been... carting around these boxes full of, like, little plastic faces and hands.
It's like Nendoroids. The biggest crime with Nendoroids is that the faces aren't interchangeable. That's the first thing I tried to do was put Rico's face on the Link's body.
Yeah, I tried to put Sonic on Link, and, like, I tried to get Link to have, like, the Sonic spikes, but it didn't fit.
Some of them are so close, too. You can almost kind of... But the hands and stuff sometimes fit, though, so you can get a little, like, creative.
Sometimes the entire head fits. Like, you can just put the neck piece into a different body, and that works.
I didn't consider even doing that. That's... I think I have a project I have to work on. Well, that's pretty cool stuff. And but like I said, there's been a lot of cool games. I know we've chatted about Splatoon 2. Have you had any other favorites come out this year, or anything you just saw kind of interesting that you?
So many.
Like, I won't even start even think about asking best or top 10 or anything like that. Just things that kind of stuck out to you.
What came out? Like, I play Splatoon 2 a lot. Like 50 hours maybe before I put it aside for other stuff. So that's a good one. There's been two Yakuza games this year, which is crazy.
They went like the longest time with no entries.
Yeah, now there's two, and then like in January another one is coming out. That's nuts.
That's a Sega game too, right?
Yep.
I think Sega realized that they have like they actually have properties that people want to play, and if done correctly, they can make a ton of money.
Yeah, I'm really happy that that Sony pushed Yakuza a little bit in the West with Yakuza 5, because I think that's what got Sega to think like, oh, people actually like this stuff, so maybe we should localize it.
Yeah.
Because I'm a huge fan of Yakuza. Like, Yakuza 0 is my favorite game of this year.
It's kind of gameplay-wise sort of like Grand Theft Auto?
Not really.
Okay.
It's like, it's a little bit because you like, you beat up people and you roam around the city. I would compare it to, what's a good comparison? It's almost like a River City Ransom cross with Shenmue.
Okay.
I mean, it's much more like a RPG, because you level up your characters and you fight like a beat-em-up kind of style. So it's more of an RPG, really, than a GTA kind of game.
Oh, nice.
It's really good. Yeah.
And it's for what, PS4?
Yakuza 0 is for PS4, yeah. And that's a good place to start the series, too.
I gotta get a PS4. I'm just rolling with my PC and Switch, and it's...
Come on, dude.
But there's so much on just those two, just PC and Switch by themselves.
I know.
Yeah.
Mario Odyssey's coming out in 2 weeks, so, like, there goes my free time again.
I'm looking at a copy of Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle that's still in the plastic that I fully intend to play, like, over a vacation coming up, but... I didn't know Cuphead was gonna come out. I didn't know I'd still be playing Splatoon 2 and
Cuphead came out of nowhere. I thought that was still like a half a year off or something.
Because it kept getting pushed back. Like it's gonna be another year. Actually, it's next week.
Yeah, that was wow. Yeah, I need to pick that up.
It's definitely worth it. And then I also have Puyo Pop Tetris, but like haven't really been able to put time into that because. Blizzard tricked me into playing their costume simulator for another year and a half.
Man, you still on Overwatch? Really?
I like it a lot.
It's a good game. Sorry, go ahead.
I miss competition. I'm not like trying to relive my glory days from high school of like playing soccer and track, but like I want to relive like the fun of that because it's not like I was great before. And I'm not great now, but I just want to, I don't know, there's something nice about overcoming a challenge when it's other people.
And yeah, like, that's part of the reason why I love fighting games so much. It's just the challenge.
Because, like, no matter how well people make a game, that game is built that you're supposed to be able to beat it. But, like, a person can infinitely always be just enough better than you. And if there's something nice about beating someone who is better than you, you just were able to focus longer or think of a better strategy or something like that. So yeah, fighting games are like that too, except for Marvel vs. Capcom, where if you get the first punch, you get to win the fight almost for free if you're good enough.
I still love that game. Like, it's so fun to watch in particular. It's so good.
So I think I found out about fighting games. I love when people like aren't... They're not good enough to be on the EVO main stage, but they're like if they take the top 8, they're like the 20 through the 10th kind of people, where it's like it's really good, but they drop combos, so it's like way more interesting, you know?
Yeah, it's a little bit imperfect. Sometimes they play like underdog characters. That's the most interesting part of fighting game tournaments for me.
Yeah, did you watch any of EVO this year?
Oh yeah, we had like a whole EVO gathering here at our house.
Nice.
Watch it all together. Yeah,
is I feel like Evo is the video game Eurovision as far as the way that people gather around it.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I would say so. I think it's the easiest to understand out of, like, video game tournaments.
Oh, definitely.
Except for Marvel, but...
I mean, the thing about these video games is there's bars on the screen that are slowly approaching empty, and when one person falls down, or in the case of Smash Brothers, blows up off the side of the screen, they lose. You don't have to know how they did it, but the terms are very clear and concise of what happened.
Yeah, exactly. So...
versus, like,
even if you don't understand, like, the combos, like, you still see that someone is dying, so it still makes sense, you know?
Yeah, that's why I tried to watch League of Legends once, and that is a very tough game to understand if you don't know what's going on. Are there any fighting games that you like playing yourself, or...?
Well, I got Pokken recently, which I'm enjoying much more on the Switch than on the Wii U.
Okay, that might be the endorsement I need to buy a second time.
It's really good. It's really good. Also, because there's actually characters that click with me now in playstyle. Like, Scizor is... It perfectly matches how I play fighting games, which is just rush down constantly.
Okay.
So I play that one. There's a bunch of, like, the old Neo Geo ones on Switch that I picked up. Like, Garou and Waku Waku 7.
And then you just said some stuff that I have no idea what that was.
Garou is a sort of like a spin-off of King of Fighters.
Okay.
And Waku Waku 7 is a old cartoony fighting game by Sunsoft.
Oh wow.
Yeah, they made
heard
a fighting
that name
game.
In years.
So I love those. I'm really glad that they're on Switch. And then my favorite fighting game of all time is Tatsunoko vs. Capcom on Wii.
I've heard of that. It's solid. And Mega Man Zero is in that one, right?
Zero is in it, yeah. Okay. And Volnutt from Mega Man Legends, he's in that game as well.
Nice.
And it's really good. It's like Marvel, but it's...
coherent?
Coherent and, like, better balanced than Marvel is.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a good game. Really good.
I'm still stuck on, I mean, I haven't played it in ages, but I'm still stuck on Skullgirls and Dive Kick.
Skullgirls is good too, yeah.
It's also very beautifully animated. A lot of cheesecake to sift through, but beautifully animated.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the hardest sells I had for people. Like, look at this animation. Yeah, okay, excuse that part of the animation, but, like, this is... look how fluid...
Not that part. I mean, not that part either.
They gave the guys jiggle physics too, so, like, it's
oh yeah,
so it's fair.
Equal opportunity physics, jiggle physics.
They actually updated a whole bunch of the animations, like for second encore, I think.
Oh, nice. So
yeah, they removed a lot of the like the underwear shots and stuff.
See, that's good. That's moving with the times.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you play that game any, like, to any degree?
I play a little bit.
Okay.
Mostly just to, like, see all the animations and all the artwork and stuff.
Did you have any particular favorite characters in there? I'm just taking the chance to talk to somebody who's played it a little bit.
Who did I play? Who's the... I forgot her name. So not Philia, but her clone character, the green one?
Oh, yeah. Fukua.
Yes, that's the one that I played, because she, all her color palettes are clone characters from other games.
Yeah.
And so she had a Shadow the Hedgehog palette, so that was the character I needed to play.
I feel like we have a lot in common on some of our character choices.
That's good. Also, my girlfriend is just glaring at me now because I had to use. Yes, for real!
Not
it was the best palette.
It was a good one.
Yeah.
If I ever make a fighting game or any kind of game where you would get palettes, that's one of the things I want to do, is be able to shout out other games the way that they did. I think, like, Philia had a Adventure Time one, like Finn the Human, and somebody had one that was referencing like a hentai site's mascot, which I just thought was funny that you put that in your game. And that mascot was in one of the backgrounds, and I'm like, this is a...
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so, you know, we live in a wild world where Wendy's even retweets art from hentai artists about their character, seemingly unknowingly.
What? That actually happened?
So, like, the smug Wendy's girl, like, the top gif that comes up on Twitter is, like, from a hentai artist. It's not porn, but, like, it's by that artist. So, like, you have all these replies are like, I recognize that name from somewhere, and I don't know if Wendy's knows, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did know.
Oh, that's good.
So
chaotic good corporate engagement.
I'm gonna lay them in chaotic neutral because they definitely like to troll other companies. They were trolling McDonald's this weekend indirectly, which is
were they?
Yeah, a little bit. But you know, the good silver linings in bad situations. You know, I think they did. Was that tweet they had? I'd say you could follow the sauce to us from McDonald's, but unfortunately there isn't enough for everybody. Like, which is just like this, just this smugness that I don't think would happen in a different timeline. So I appreciate that. Are you into any cartoons or anything like that? I'd say all TV shows, but I want to stick with like the animation theme because
why not? We've been watching Dragon Ball. We've been watching Dragon Ball Kai.
Okay. Yeah, how do you like it versus the original if you've seen it?
Well, I barely remember the original because that was like, how many years ago did I watch that? Like 17 years ago or something. It's the last time I saw it. So, it's good. Like it's better paced. The animation's great, especially in the second half of the show.
Nice. Yeah, I feel like it's a show I've seen more of the Bridge series, so it makes me think I've seen it more recently than I have. Which actually, now that you say 17 years, I'm thinking, yeah, I haven't seen that since I was in high school.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know, like 12 or 13 or something when I first watched that show.
Also, like, pretty much anything could be better paced than the original Dragon Ball Z.
Yes. That is absolutely true. They cut out, like, what, 100 episodes or something for Kai?
It's like, and you don't even notice.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I think they cut out some of the filler, too, right?
Yeah, a ton of the filler. Like, all of it, pretty much.
See, it's... filler is normally pretty bad, but the arc where... I don't even know if it's an arc or if it's just, like, two episodes where Goku and Piccolo learn to drive. I hope they took it out. Like, I like that filler. That was funny to me.
They took that out, and we looked up the episode and then watched it anyway because we had to see it.
Like, everything about it is so good. I don't know. I think there's so much that if the filler's done right, it's not filler. It's just not action. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like the longer, like, the and plottier... like a filler arc is, the less like fun it is to watch. Like,
yeah,
if it's just like a one shot or like two episodes of just like some characters doing stupid shit on their day off,
yeah,
like, yeah, that's fine. I love that, actually.
I love watching that. Like, that was one of the small joys of like the long haul through Naruto filler when that was a thing that I was experiencing.
I mean, like, basically I just want, and I don't know what show I've said it on, but I just want a company issued fan fiction, which is basically like, it's, this is still canon because the creators wrote it, or maybe not, I don't care. Like, what story would you tell if you didn't have to worry about plot or like the logistics of your show? I just want to see that.
Exactly.
I mean, I think that's how you end up with Sonic Boom, but the TV show.
Okay.
Which apparently that is better than you would think, and Teen Titans Go is also has the ability to be better than you think, which, okay.
I've never seen an episode of the original Teen Titans in my life. Like, that was not a thing that was on TV for me as a kid.
Oh, geez. Yeah,
so I feel like I missed out somehow because everyone's always talking about it.
I think it's remembered more fondly than it was. Don't get me wrong, I loved it. You know, one of my favorite quotes comes from that show. But I don't, again, I haven't seen it, so I don't remember if it's actually a masterpiece or if that was just like, oh, hey, this is anime with Robin and a bunch of characters I don't know.
Right.
But, like, I'm also a little kid and, you know, these characters are also kind of hot. And there's a black dude that's cool and not dumb. So, like, this is checking all the boxes that I want. It may have been trash.
I don't know. So many people say that it's really good. So there has to be something there, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid, like, the Hey Arnold reboot or the Hey Arnold movie's coming out. And, like, I hope it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But, like...
Oh, I forgot that was a thing.
Yeah, like, the trailer dropped, that was like, happening.
Oh, what? Really?
That's what I saw. I don't know if it actually...
Yeah, watch it. It's intense.
Oh, really?
Oh,
okay.
Man.
It's real intense.
Let's talk about it this weekend on the show, Steph.
Absolutely.
But, like, it's still gonna have to have the same tone as Hey Arnold, right? Because, like, you know, like... But that's... That demographic has definitely grown about 15 years, so...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't...
Yeah, it's tricky because, like, the people... Your audience, like, this show hasn't been on the air for how long? So, like, the audience that you're appealing to is an older audience, but you're not going to age up your content that much.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, basically, I just want Gerald to say fuck.
Keep dreaming, buddy.
Yo, live-action Hey Arnold, though. It'd be easy. So we get John Boyega as Gerald, first off, step one. I don't know who would play Arnold, but, you know, I didn't
Nobody
think
Nobody has a head like that.
Say, someone with a weird-shaped head.
I mean... Benedict Cumberbatch? I don't know.
Well, his
head's
head
weird in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I was going to say. His goes up.
You know, I didn't put a lot of thought into this before I started talking, but basically I just want to give John Boyega more roles.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Did you see the Star Wars trailer?
I did not. I still have to watch it.
Me too.
It's real good.
Well, by the time this
so
comes
busy
out,
today.
I mean, this might come out by the time the movie comes out, depending on how these episodes go. But it's not going to be like this just came out last week. So, yeah, it was real good. I definitely watched it a month ago. It was good. Are you a big movie guy?
Ish. I don't really go to like the theater or anything anymore. But
that's fair.
Like I watch Star Wars. Like I like Star Wars.
Yeah, I kind of got swept into Star Wars by my co-host here.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, yo, go see Star
Basically,
Wars.
Basically, it was like, hey,
oh, you're
coming to see this movie with me.
So you never, like, watched the originals, or
Well, I saw the prequels when I was little, and that didn't sell me on it, so... but, like, there's also the whole idea of, like... Do you ever get the feeling that it's hard to go back and play PS2 games that you didn't play before because, like, the graphics are just, eh?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I get that kind of, like, with the old Star Wars movies. Like, they're kind of, like, grunged up. But also, there's been so many parodies and cultural osmosis that, like, I would just know certain things are going to happen or major
mm-hmm.
beats. So, just be like... Okay, when are they gonna shoot the Death Star? Okay, when are they gonna get to Cloud City? When's Luke gonna fall out of the Death Star? So it's just gonna be so much. I know it's coming, and the build up's gonna feel weird. So I just
yeah.
never got into it.
I don't know. It's still worth watching them. I think.
I'll sit them down eventually.
Do it.
I'll make a day of it, preferably after I see Fury Road.
Oh, what? You haven't seen that?
He owns it.
I'm holding a Blu-ray of Mad Max Fury
Literally
Road in my hand right now.
This is ridiculous.
See, like, there it is right there.
Jesus, stop.
Like, you want to hear something cool right there? It's still in the plastic.
Oh, man.
But it's a
Watch
slip.
That movie.
I want to. I just need an occasion.
I'll do it tonight. The occasion is us telling you to watch it.
Exactly.
Maybe not tonight, but I might watch it tomorrow. Because I might be watching movies tomorrow, so maybe tomorrow.
Nice.
Luckily, you know how much, like, movie analysis there is on YouTube, like, of so many things? And everybody has a good piece on Fury Road, and I'm stringently not watching them so that I'm not spoiled, but man. There's hours of content that I could be watching instead of two hours of this content. Okay. Steph, do you have any questions at the moment?
No, I'm just having fun.
I mean, yeah, that's good. It's good to be in good company. It is odd to hear people's voice after, like, quote knowing them on Twitter.
It is, yeah.
It's also, like, this weird phase of, well, I feel like I know that person. Like, I could probably send them an email and get a response and mutual follow, but, like, someone's like, are you friends with that person? Like, well, we're friendly, but...
That's a hard thing about Twitter, right?
It's because, like, calling someone your friend feels, like, presumptuous if you've never, like, shaken their hand, at least. Or, like, I don't know, air high-fived over a Skype call or something, but it's a weird space we're in.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's connecting people, which... I thought it was going to be a lot better of a thing than it's turned out to be. a lot of connected stuff. So if I might ask a question, this isn't really specific to you, so my apologies, and I don't want to ask you too much incriminating things, but, like, what's it like seeing such a huge portion of discourse around, like, American issues, kind of as an outsider? Like, what's that really... I want to know what that feels like, so I can have a bit of an escape from it, I guess.
How do you explain this?
I mean, honestly, I just kind of threw that question up in the sky, and
it can be terrifying, and, like, you feel like there's little you can do about it.
Okay, so pretty much the same as us then.
Yeah.
So we're all in the same big scary place.
I mean, there's still global issues, I think.
Sure.
It's just, I don't know. It's just weird.
Okay. I mean, even, like, with all this stuff with sports, and apparently we have a fast food chain debacle that happened only in America. So, like, yeah.
That's just stupid. Like, when I look at it, that's just the whole sauce thing. Like, what are you doing? Why?
Is it weird that, like, you can track a lot of the weird things that have happened this year to, like, some kind of meme? Like, even politics kind of have been shaped by memes.
It blows my mind. It's so bad. Like, how?
It's like...
How
is
this a real thing?
it's not even that... The future that liberals wanted, the future that conservatives wanted. I don't know if anyone knew this was going to happen. It's like everyone's like, oh, this is like 1984. I'm like, not quite. Like, 1984 was more purposeful and, like, sinister. This is just strange and odd, and nostalgia is, like, attacking everybody.
There's no plot here.
It's just bad.
Like, if you plotted 2017 as a movie, it'd be like those movies, epic movie and disaster movie that everybody hates, and they'd be like, what's the plot of this? It doesn't make any sense. And you'd be like, well, no, this actually happened.
This is what's going to happen in a couple hundred years. They'll be like, oh, remember that?
Like, oh, those right, yeah, wacky yeah. times?
Let's make a bad movie out of it.
Well, yeah, like, that's the thing. I work in publishing, and so I follow a lot of publishing people on Twitter, and all of them are always just like, if I got this book, like, if someone wrote this whole story down and tried to sell it to me as, like, fiction, mm-hmm. I would say it was so unrealistic, and that things could never happen that way, and this writer is a hack, like...
But that is exactly how it went wrong, is that people thought it would never happen.
And not even so much, like, there's so many things that's like, we should have paid them attention that, like, oh, this will never happen. But then it did. There's that kind of stuff. Like, maybe we should have taken this seriously. But then there's, like, the whole sauce thing.
That's just bizarre. Like, yeah.
That does. And people will give you all these things, you know, like toxic masculinity, nerd entitlement. Yeah, sure. These are things that are problems all the time. But how they manifest in this specific sort of way.
Weird, specific, like, nonsense way.
Like, normally it's like harassment of people at a convention or, like, attacking artists, which obviously don't do either of those things, but like freaking out over a sauce, don't get me wrong, I went to go get some, heard there was a line, and said, well, I'm still on the strip district in Pittsburgh, there's other stuff to do, and I didn't drive down here for nothing, so...
Yeah.
Which I feel like is what a normal super fan does. I've been
wrong before. Like, whatever, it didn't work out, like, I'll go do something else, you know?
Other silver lining to this, though, you know what fandom hasn't been talked badly about all weekend? The Sonic fandom. And
I saw, a friend of mine tweeted, like, because they tweeted out that Tumblr post about, like, fandoms doing bad things. And then his tweet was, like, Sonic fandom makes the best Sonic game of all time, or something like that.
That's the most recent thing we've done. So if you look at, so what, Rick and Morty fandom harassed minimum wage employees. The Steven Universe fandom harassed a lot of artists and also, like, screwed up a hotel in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
The My Little Pony Brony fandom did what it did. But the most recent thing that Sonic fandom did was make the best game in possibly 25 years or all time of the series. Which is, who would have saw that coming, huh? Are there any other wild fandoms that are...
Any what? Sorry?
Any, like, wild fandoms right now? I can't think of any.
Mm. Oh, man. Voltron's going to be scary again in a week.
Okay, yep.
Oh, yeah, I've not been in contact with Voltron fandom. I didn't even know there was a new show or whatever. I was just like, why is everybody talking about Voltron for a while? I didn't know. I thought it was just, oh, people are rewatching the old thing and rediscovering it or something.
Yeah, but it's just a wide, wide world of people just... Like, you love a thing too much.
Mm-hmm.
You love a thing in a weird way.
It's like...
Like, I get it. Like, being a super fan of something. I just figured that... Like, sometimes I think, like, oh, these people must be, like, younger. But then it's like, no, it's these are like 30-somethings or 20-somethings doing this stuff. Well, maybe it's time to grow up and realize that these things aren't that important to you.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, especially when it's, if it affects other people, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I can even see, like, getting a tattoo of something you really love because,
oh yeah,
that can, a lot of things are aesthetic anyway. And going to, like, ridiculous lengths to do certain things, like, sure, but it's just when it starts affecting other people negatively, that it starts to be like, maybe reel this back a little bit.
Yeah, because it affects the thing that you love as well. Like, Rick and Morty, for example, will have a bad name to some people because of all this weird sauce stuff that happened.
And, like, this might be, like, the only time some people have ever heard of Rick and Morty, and that's what they're gonna remember.
Yeah, like, and they'll be like, oh, well, now I'll never watch it. Like,
yeah,
it really affects what the thing that you love, I think.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of, I guess, rabid fandoms, Homestuck also released a good game this year. So, like...
Oh, that came out? Really?
It finally came out, like, two or three weeks ago.
Wow, wasn't that in development for, like, 4 years or something?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They kickstarted the game in 2011 or 2012, mm-hmm. right before I got into the fandom. And then, and, like, I've literally gone the entire arc of, like, I just discovered this thing. I'm really into this thing. Like, I'm not so into this thing anymore, but I'm going to see it through to the end. I look back fondly on my time being into this thing, and it's like, oh, by the way, there's a new part of that.
Oh, that's so weird.
is there any, like, meta arc to that?
Like, what would be really nuts if that was like the plot, something tied to the plot of Hive Swap, where it was like about getting back into something you used to like.
I wouldn't put it past. But... fandom is a weird thing, and I don't know what it is that it grips people about fandoms, but I had a running theory that I think is the key to having a successful fandom, whether it's rabid or not. There's a few simple steps that you gotta do, and it'll sell like hotcakes. I'm gonna give you Dom's tips to fandom success if anyone's listening. Step one, and this is the most important one, this is above all, You have to have female characters in the game, and they can't all be overly sexualized. Step one, that's the first thing you gotta do. Step two, have as many different cosplay options as possible. Mm-hmm. All the way from, like, grandiose things that aren't even physically possible to, like, a t-shirt with, like, an exclamation point on it. But you need everything in between.
That's just Bubsy, that what you said. That's Bubsy with the exclamation point.
I wasn't even thinking about Bubsy. You never stop thinking about Bubsy, I suppose. Actually, I think I referenced Bubsy on the last podcast we did.
You did.
He's always here.
He's always watching. There. He's like the bad cross between Sonic, Mario, and Crash. Like,
oh man, yeah.
Like he's the Venn diagram, and it's not good. He's inverse Crash. He's wearing the wrong half. And the last thing is just have like a plot that follows. Either like you can either have like fart jokes or like deep mythology, and
or both.
Well, I mean, you have to have both. And then once you do that, your fandom will be very passionate, and you'll win everything. Ta-da! You're not going to get that everywhere.
So good.
And, Steph, I'll have my Switch in case you want to play it on vacation.
Oh, nice.
Or at least
nice.
Try it out. So.
I definitely want to hold it in my hands. Need to know.
The Switch is a nice device. They did good with this one.
It's so like neat looking. I don't know. I'm like,
it's really nice.
I have my PC and that's it. Like, I am not a huge gamer, so like the financial input of getting a console is like just a little too much when I don't have many people, like, because I like to play like the kind of competitive Smash you play with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have really anyone to play with, so eventually maybe I will steal my brother's. But the investment of the Switch was like, I pay New York City rent.
It's not the move.
But I want to see it.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with the lineup of the Switch. I mean, there's indie games and AAA games that I want. Which, you know, I pretty much bought the Wii U for Splatoon and Smash. And I bought the Switch for Splatoon in the hope of something good coming out. And I was not disappointed in the least so far, so. I hope it has a nice long future, but if they stopped after Mario Odyssey and, like, the indie games slated for this year, it wouldn't be a wasteful investment, I'd say. I'd be disappointed, but it would be pretty good.
Yeah, it's a fantastic console. Like, there's so much stuff coming out on it right now, so.
I'm looking at this indie game called, like, Dandara, I believe it's called. And you, like, bounce from the ceiling to the walls and stuff, and, like
there's, oh, yeah.
You're, like, a lady with an afro, and, like, she shoots at stuff with, like, a...
Yeah, that game's cool. Yeah. I saw it at GDC. It's really good.
Oh, man, I want to go to, like, these conferences, like the professional conferences or even like the fan conferences. Like, I've been to anime cons, but I've never been to, like, PAX or anything like that. And it's, I don't know if I'd actually get to play the games because I heard the lines are redonkulous, but it'd be nice to just see the atmosphere and see the panels, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever been on a panel before?
I did a GDC talk. When was that? Like 4 years ago?
So that was probably, Lou Frauser, Super Crate Box time?
Yeah, it was, I think we had just started, or were about to start, Nuclear Throne.
Okay.
Actually, no, that was, like, right after we did Wasteland Kings for the Mojam.
Okay.
Nice.
And then, my talk was about, like, modernizing pixel art, so not doing, like the same things that they would do on older systems with like limited animation and stuff like that, but taking those aesthetics and putting modern animation on it and things like that. So I showed off Luftrausers and what we did with that game, and then had some other examples. So that was like the biggest talk that I've done probably, and it was fun. But the feedback that I got from it, from the people who saw it through like the GDC website and stuff, maybe not want to put that much effort into talk ever again.
if you don't mind me asking, what do you mean? Was it like negative feedback or missed the point? Okay.
Either they missed a point or it was just negative or it just wasn't worth it for me. It was fun being there, but I don't know.
But the developers that were there gave you pretty much a good response, I'd hope? Like the people it was kind of aimed at?
Well, it was all developers, so a lot of developers gave me a negative response as well.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, oh well.
I mean, you've been behind the art of many games that have just, like, eaten my time mercilessly, so...
Oh, thank you.
My friends and I used to play, like, a lot of Super Crate Box, just trying to... I don't know what our goal was, but you would just hear, like, lot like explicit words just being yelled in our college apartment because I think games that are cheap and broken I think don't hurt as bad as games that are like, that's your fault, pal, like I don't know what to tell you, like just mm-hmm. get better. And it's like, oh, I want to snap my controller in half because I made a mistake. So you
know. Super Crate Box is all bad.
But it was fun, and the, you know, Screen Shake, it's such a it's a very Vlambeer game.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, there's all kinds of things you can look at about that on the internet, listeners, if you're interested.
We have a book too about like the whole history of Vlambeer. So
did you also work on Ridiculous Fishing, or was that
no else? Okay, that's like one of two Vlambeer games I think that I did not work on.
The game is lost in time to me because I bought it on an iPod that I still have that doesn't play it anymore for whatever reason. So it kind of just feels like, oh, you know, a game from my childhood, a.k.a. like when I was working my first real job. But, you know, feels like I was a kid. Okay. So the question I asked was, if people found out you were on a podcast, is there any question that they would tune in hoping we asked you?
Ooh.
If not, that's fine. I'm sure you get asked more, like, frequently asked questions than I would probably see.
Alexa, can you turn that off, please? Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry.
You don't have an Amazon Dot, do you? Or an Amazon Echo?
No.
Okay, that would get real obnoxious, I feel like. It's like those little, it's like the OK Google or, like, the Siri things. And it's called Alexa, okay. So you would... Probably
okay, no, my girlfriend is called Alexa. I'm not talking to Amazon Alexa.
No, I was just wondering if you also had that, because I was curious if that ever happened.
No, oh, that would be funny though if we had one and like that would constantly happen.
Oh, it would suck.
Because I remember there was the season premiere of South Park had a bunch of like Alexa jokes in it, so like people had them at home and they were just getting triggered and. Having the most ridiculous things put into, like, their cloud data.
Which, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, which is, you know, I'm just glad they didn't do it with Google. So, yeah, sorry about that little tangent.
No, that's fine. Jeez, I don't know. I think people just, when I talk about stuff, they want to hear about, like, in-depth, like animation stuff or game dev stuff or whatever. So I don't know if you have any questions about that we can still talk about.
Nah, that stuff's kind of more of the that's more about the process and less about you kind of stuff. Our goal is trying to get to know people a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I guess did you do any professional education as far as animation, or are you self-taught, or?
I'm self-taught in animation, but I went to the Utrecht School of Arts.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
And I did a game design and development there. So what that meant was, we got taught like all the basics of game development. So we did a little bit of code, a little bit of sound design, a little bit of animation, and because of that, I can talk to all the different. Like people that I work with relatively easily, and I know like how they expect me to deliver stuff or like how to ask them questions about their work. That really helped me in my with development of the games that I work on.
Okay.
But animation wise I'm completely self-taught.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And another question I'd have was, do you have any tips for people, for aspiring professionals? So they've worked on their portfolio. They're doing the just do it half of, you know, every time people ask for advice, the main advice normally is just do it and try it.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have any advice on, like, maybe contacting somebody to do commission work, like, for them or anything like that? So I feel like that's the part where a lot of people get stuck on is, I feel like I have the skills, but how do I work on something with somebody?
Right. The way I did it for, like, my first couple jobs was to just email the people that are behind the projects I was interested in. So, for example, the first thing that I worked on was a Batman game on DS by WayForward. And I basically just mailed them like, hey, I'm interested in working with you guys. And they were like, oh yeah, we have a project we can try you out on. And that was like the first game or the second game that I ever worked on professionally.
Very nice.
And that's also how I got involved with Hyperlight Drifter. It's like, I'm interested in making these things.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. And
connections are everything.
Exactly. And like with Hyperlight Drifter, I worked on that briefly. It was also me just seeing the Kickstarter, thinking it looks cool, and just mailing them. So my advice is really to just get out there and, like, yeah, just put yourself out there. Like, if you're interested in something, just mail them and ask them about it, because they're only people, you know? You can just talk to them.
Solid. Okay. Just figured I'd ask for anybody who might be listening, might be a fan. And that's what's been working for me, is just being clever on Twitter and not being a jerk.
That too, yeah, that's important.
It's
a big upside. You would be surprised how many people, like, who want you to do something for them but have not done anything for you in return.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are really demanding. Like, was getting, like, not naming any names, but, like, I was, like, on fire at my desk the other day because this author kept sending me these, like, really, like, kind of passive-aggressive, kind of demanding emails, and it was like, you are not J.K. Rowling, like, you have not published a single book yet, like,
yeah, like,
maybe when you're famous, you could get away with this.
Exactly,
maybe.
Even then.
But none of this makes me want to help you get there.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's the easy part of that kind of situation is, well, I mean, it's not easy, but I think it's relatively easy to understand not to just straight out demand things from people. I mean, I thought it was easy. I guess it's not. But there's also the not being annoying portion of those kind of things. So, I mean, like, looking at my Twitter feed, it might be kind of annoying. But, like, the interactions I'll have with people, especially people with a lot of followers, I don't remember if it was Austin Walker or somebody else, but they were saying, hey, a good tip when you're on Twitter is look through someone's replies to see if they've already made the joke you were going to make.
Yeah.
It'll make you look like less of a jerk.
Yeah, Austin was saying that. It was really good.
That's such a basic thing, but also completely understandable that you would not think of that if you're not dealing with a lot of people on Twitter. And stuff like that will get you into circles that you don't quite know how you got there, so, you know.
Yeah.
Got to shake hands at the Game Devs of Color Expo in New York earlier this year, which was also pretty surreal. Yeah, it's there's a lot of talented people in all these spaces making games and art and music. So it's nice to see that there's a solid alternative to the full on AAA market.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, how are you feeling, Paul? Before we move into our final section of the show, you feeling pretty good?
I'm good. Yeah.
Cool, Steph. You feeling pretty good?
I am excellent.
Do you want to move into our thunder round?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So we have a question section, Paul, that we would...
Okay.
We thought it was going to be rapid fire when we started this, but there's way too many, like, good stories to come out of it, so... It's the questions round. So, Steph, would you like to do the honors, as always, of getting us started?
Sure. All right. So, if you could cross over any two pieces of media and make a new thing, which two things would you cross over? It can be video games, books, movies, TV.
Oh my god.
And it doesn't so have you to can see... be realistic either.
Yeah, it doesn't have to make sense. Oh. You can see how this section gets a little off the rails sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez. I would want a new Mother game written, of course, Itoi would have to be involved, but written by Murakami. I think that would be really good.
Shit. Nice.
This is opening with the home run. I like it.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite candy?
A favorite candy? What's my favorite candy?
Outsource the question.
Shit.
Not shit.
Oh my God.
Not shit, probably. Oh yeah, I do like the gummy cola bottles. Those are nice.
Those are okay.
Oh man.
So like the plastic ones or the gummy ones?
The gummy ones.
Okay.
Hmm?
I thought you said the plastic ones or the yummy ones, and I was like, that's a little judgmental.
I mean, you know, it's some people like candy corn, some people don't.
Oh, that's true.
Man, do you have an opinion? Some people make some weird.
Do either of you have an opinion on candy corn?
I've never had candy corn because Halloween is not a thing in the Netherlands, so.
Oh, it sucks.
Oh, I've heard it sucks from a very reliable source.
It's so weird. Like, I don't hate the taste of it, but I would never be able to eat, like, even the small, it would have to come in, like, a box the size of, like, a single serving of Nerds or something, like, uh-huh. Where you get, like, three candy corns, and that's all I need for, like, the entire year.
Or, like, you find yourself, and there's, like, a bowl of them, and you're like, I don't even really like candy corn. But you're bored, so you just start eating them.
Oh, that's the worst.
And it's, something like that entirely.
Like they're nasty enough that you would not want them. If you asked somebody for candy and they gave you candy corn, you'd be mad. But if there was a bowl there,
you'd be like, "Do you hate me?"
Yeah. But if there's like a bowl there and you're just eating them, you're like, "These aren't the like I could be eating way worse things that people actually like." have you had Starburst before?
No. What?
You've
What's
never
that?
Had Starburst?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I felt like kind of a jerk asking it that way, but I'm never sure what candies like kind of cross over. They're like,
they're like fruit chews,
yeah, they're
kind
like
of
fruit chews.
Okay,
but yeah, wow, they're a weird thing to describe, other than just saying fruit chews. But that makes me think of like those weird like Tootsie Rolls that aren't the brown ones. Are Tootsie Rolls chocolate? Actually,
I think they're supposed to be.
Okay. Okay, well, you got the next question, Steph. I'm lost.
You said you worked on a Batman game?
Yes.
If you could pick any version of the Joker from any of the various and sundry games and movies and TV shows and what have you, mm-hmm. comic books, you know, which Joker would you pick?
Oh, wow, that's hard.
What's your favorite?
Because I'm not, like, much of a comic book guy.
Fair.
So, oy, that's hard.
TV and movies is okay too. Mm-hmm. If you have
I mean, the one that sticks with like a ton of people is Heath Ledger's Joker, probably, which is just a good performance. So that's I guess that's the one that I would pick. Like it's.
That's a solid answer. That's my favorite.
It's
Joker.
Been so long since I've had like any exposure to any Batman stuff. So I guess that would be my answer.
That works. There are no wrong answers here. Uh-huh. We just like to get to.
I mean, there's a.
We just like to dig into people's brains a little bit.
There's a questionable answer for that one, but you know, we won't. If Jared Leto is your favorite Joker, we won't judge. Just
oh, jeez,
we won't judge too hard.
See, I already forgot that he even did the Joker.
Right.
At any point in time.
I was watching a review today of something. Is Jared Leto in the new Blade Runner?
Is
yes.
he? Yeah, really?
Someone said.
Yes, I don't know who he plays, but I haven't seen it. But
someone said he's in it less than he is in Suicide Squad after all the cuts that they made. Like,
oh my God.
Which is like, that's just like, it's like, okay, I'm sure I'm in a movie as much as that. Like, just from being like an extra in something. Have you seen Avatar: The Last Airbender?
Only little bits of it. It was on TV in the Netherlands, so I've seen a couple episodes.
Okay, I haven't seen a lot of it either. I just know the major plot lines, but I think you can still get the question. What kind of elemental bender would you be?
Oh,
you could pick earth, air, water, or fire.
With all the associated cool stuff that goes with it.
I like earth.
Solid.
Nice. Yeah, it is solid.
Oh, hey, nicely done. Very cool, very cool.
You might be one of the few earthbenders we've had. That's
really?
You're a rare breed.
Is it mostly like fire or something? Like the cool one?
We get a lot of fire and water.
Mm.
I pick air.
That's pretty cool too.
Yeah, I just feel like it's the least compromisable.
But you can't be air. He's the last one. Like, you can't pick air. He's supposed to be the last airbender.
Hey, this is fictional land. There's no rules here. It's maybe we're in the past. Maybe we're the airbender prequel.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
The Avatar, the 10th to the last airbender. The title doesn't stick quite as well.
It just doesn't flow off the tongue the same way.
What's next, Steph? I feel like we're actually making progress this time.
I know, right? Is there anything, like, any particular thing you do whenever you're feeling, like, sad or upset about something? Is there, like, something you always go back to? Whether it's food or a movie or, like, a pet or something that you use to cheer up?
Video games is a thing. Other than that, I just like comfort stuff, comfort food. I don't know if I can name like a specific thing though. That's hard.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, well, video games solve many ills. You can get your rage out, you can get your rage on.
Oh yeah, these questions are they're only as deep as you want them to be. They don't have to be anything profound. But maybe this next one will be. Do you have a favorite crying moment from any kind of fiction? So whether it be a sad cry or a happy cry.
Now we're getting back to Mother again. The first chapter of Mother 3 is the first game that made me cry.
Okay.
It's have you guys played it at all?
I have not. I've just seen like some Let's Plays and the stuff on from Smash Bros. Okay. That's the one with Lucas in it, right?
Yeah, that's the one with Lucas. The first chapter is incredibly sad. There's a really heart-wrenching scene in it.
Is that where you fight the Masked Man, or is that at the end?
That is at the end. That is also very sad.
Shucks. Well, in the same style of game, I think my favorite crying moment comes at the end of Undertale. Have you played it?
Yeah, I love that game.
Yeah, that's
more of a happy cry, though.
Yeah, it was kind of a... What I recommend you do is, I guess, spoiler alert to those, skip ahead, like, literally 10 seconds. I suggest you look on YouTube and search Azriel Hug and, like, YouTubers react. Because it's so great to see, like, these... Like, some of them, like Jacksepticeye, like, these are really animated. Their whole thing is, like, being over the top. You know, it's a genre that people like. I'm not going to knock it, but that's their thing. But it's really interesting seeing, like, these guys are like, hey, guys, welcome to the Let's Play, and then seeing this very quiet, small moment. you can fake laughter, you can fake terror, but it's really hard to fake a cry.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to fake, like, a sobbing cry, but, like, subtle, a couple tears going kind of thing in the voice crack. And it was just a really beautiful moment for me because the bittersweet moment of that, like after the whole build up of that game. So,
Game's good. I need to play it again.
It's one of my favorites. Also, a strong fan base.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. Very musically and artistically creative. For better or for worse, artistically, but definitely a lot of music fans in that fandom.
Yeah, even the. Composer of Metal Gear Solid did like a tribute album for Undertale.
I saw that. It was like orchestral, right?
It's more like It's very quiet, like piano music. It's That's really right. good.
Was that on the Materia Collective?
No, it was on... I can't remember.
Okay. I mean, I can look it up. I remember seeing it.
It's really good.
It's interesting how... I mean, we're talking about like how memes have changed so much. It's weird to have a game that like Undertale that was so meme-y humor, but also mm-hmm. had, like, generated such a strong fan base of like emotional people.
Yeah.
Like, it like took the games industry by storm, and it pissed off a lot of people that don't like fun. But
yeah, that was it's so weird. Like, if you don't like it, that's fine, but just leave it be.
Yeah. I understand it did take over a lot of the internet, but it's I think there's a reason it resonated with so many different people, like different kinds mm-hmm. of people. Do you have a favorite crying moment, Steph, since we're sharing and being buds?
Oh man. I weep at like literally everything. God. Like, I was close to tears last night just watching the Star Wars trailer, just because, like, I have such a, like, strong abiding love for Carrie Fisher, and, like, thinking about having to watch her probably die on screen.
Oof, yeah.
Is, like, stabbing me in the heart right now.
I do not envy Adam Driver if he has to be the one to do that, because that's not going to be a good look.
No.
But, man, I also cried, very recently. I went to see Come From Away, which is a Broadway show about the town in Newfoundland where a bunch of planes were grounded on 9/11.
Mm.
And it was really just, it was a beautiful show, but like I just cried for like the entire show. Just like, it's about like the kind of, it's like, it's very specifically about 9/11, but it's also kind of like about like the infinite goodness of people in difficult situations.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's...
Well, that's beautiful, though.
Lovely.
Yeah, that sounds quite really good, actually.
Solid. Do you have any other ones you want to ask, Steph? That one got kind of heavy. Then the last series of questions. Who would you want to play you, you know, if they made a movie or a show on Netflix... Starring you or anybody else, but you're in it. Who would you want to play you? And it doesn't have to look like you. It could be anybody.
Oh, that's so tough. Because I'm bad with, like, actor names.
You can say, like, the guy from that one thing, and we can figure it out.
That's so hard. Alexa, help me out. They're asking... If there was like a show about me on Netflix, who would play me?
Then you could get that fucking stream dude who looks like you.
No! What is he called again?
Chad Tronic?
No! I look exactly like him, it's true. Everybody always says that. Like, when I get new followers, I get like new followers on Twitter. It's like, oh, you look like Chad Tronic. Oh, why?
That's like one of those things where it's like, maybe read the replies.
Exactly.
See how many other people have already said this.
No, you don't know. Like a dude.
I could see it, but like, you guys look different. But I could see it.
The man with the square face. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Sure, okay. Leonardo DiCaprio is the final answer. And Chatronic, both of them.
Okay.
It'd be like Full House, like they used two people for that one little girl. It's like that, only they were completely different.
That's one of the more unique answers we've got. I like that one. That's good. And then the follow-up to that is like, what character would you like to play in a show or movie? So, like, anybody, fictional or human or non-fictional or whatever.
In like an existing show, or
so, like, yeah, like say they're making a live action version of something or a cartoon version of a live action thing. You could voice them or be them. Who would you want to?
That's ooh. I would want to play so anyone from Grim Fandango. If they did like a adaptation of that game, I would want to play anyone from that game.
Nice.
Just let me be in your movie.
Yeah, exactly. Just let me be a skeleton man in your movie.
Hey, if that falls through, there's always Undertale still with all the skeletons.
Oh, it is October after all. I could be Sans. That works too.
You could be him, I'll be Papyrus, and we'll do like a fan cast.
Sans Undertale, my favorite guy.
Pretty good. I love those characters have voices, even though they didn't really have voices. That was
Really good, yeah.
That was so cool. Okay. Paul, that's the podcast. Thanks for...
Cool.
We want to extend our gratitude to you for joining in.
Yeah, no worries. That was fun.
It really, really means a lot. Glad I got to...
Yeah.
Hope I didn't, like, fan out too much.
Not at all. Like, we're past that phase.
Cool. Hey, we still got to squad up on Splatoon one day.
We do.
I finally got my, the Splash-O-Matic, whatever, like, the needle nose one is.
Oh, cool.
Because I've been working with those long-range dualies, which I like them, but it's just not the same.
It's just all brush for me, man. That's the only thing I play.
Which brush?
Yeah.
Which brush do you use?
Just the ink brush, not the octo brush.
Okay, so you have style. You like to put a little bit of skill behind it. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of respect for that. A lot of these stages, just someone jumps up and just starts smashing the shoot button. You're like, I don't know where I'm getting hit from.
Yeah. So,
ink brush, I think, is more fair, but it's... Okay, you're Mr. Skill Shot. Okay. we'll have to get that soon. But in the meantime, where could listeners find you and your work on the internet if that was something that you wanted them to do?
So my Twitter is... I mentioned it at the start, and it's weird to say it in English, but it's Peter Pete. Cool. P-I-E-T-E-P-I-E-T. And then that's where I post most of my work nowadays, really. I don't really use my Tumblr that much anymore. So if people want to follow me, then that's the place to look for me.
Cool. What's your what's your Twitter name mean?
Oh, man. It's a long-ass story of... Dutch friends changing my nickname constantly, and then like, because my initials are PJ, so that's my username that I used for a really long time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then after a while, Dutch friends started pronouncing that as Pete Ye, and Pete is like, it's like Pete, the English name, but spelled P-I-E-T, so that's a really common Dutch name. And then that changed into Peter Pete somehow, and that kind of stuck, and I've been wanting to get rid of it, but someone owns paulveer.com, and someone owns at paulveer on Twitter, and I can't get them, and it sucks.
Hey, I feel like you made a name for yourself, at least, so. Hey, it's better than the alternative. I don't think Twitter ever got rid of that fake account of me, so that's pretty cool.
There's a fake account of you? Jeez.
Let me just check real quick to see if it's still there.
Live on the podcast.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah. It's still there.
At my
real name, and the screen name portion of it is Gangsta Dom, and all the posts were like real ignorant stuff trying to make me look not so good.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it wasn't even like it's not even like it was a Twitter thing. It was people like from college. So I'm like, that kinda sucks, but
that sucks, yeah.
I understand I probably did something wrong to somebody, but like,
you don't have to do that. Like, come on.
Could you delete it at least? Cause like, that's my real name and I don't want people spying that and thinking that's me.
That sucks.
And I'm also wearing a camo hat cause I was at paintball. So it's just not a good look all around.
Oh man.
So it kind of like, this guy says he's a gangster, but he has like a camouflage hat on. I don't think he knows what this means. But yeah, so Twitter support isn't really helping me out on that one.
It's been kidding.
About what, 6 years at this point? So
what?
Know.
Really?
Yeah, it's like I was like 2012 ish or so.
That's awful.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you make your bed, you lay in it, but that's not where I'm at on Twitter. listeners, maybe you want to find this podcast or Stephanie and I on social media, you can totally do that. It's so simple. Mm-hmm. You can find this podcast at Character Rev, so that's two R's in the middle, Character R-E-V on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. If you search Character Reveal, you'll recognize the logo. Lovely listeners, you can just go see us, all of our updates over there. You can find us on Instagram at Character Reveal. You can find us at characterreveal.simplecast.fm or on iTunes, Google Play Podcasts, or Stitcher. Please leave ratings. They definitely help us out, help us get noticed. We're really big in Japan. That's cool, I guess. If you want to get us big in America again, you can be part of that solution. If you're an American listener, Germany, you could catch up too. All that kind of stuff. You can find me anywhere on the internet where I'm trying to be found, at Brother Dom. That's BROTHADOM, not ER. That's, you won't find me. I did it on purpose. So like Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, let's see, to Twitch when I'm there. And Steph, people can find you all over the internet as well, correct?
It's true.
Cool. You can find Steph.
I can tell them if you
tell them. Bring the noise, bring the ruckus, tell them what it is.
Yes, you can find me at Captain Steph on Twitter. You can find me at The Snow Queer on Tumblr. There's a story behind that one too. but you can also find me on Instagram at Hella Steph, because I don't have the kind of branding that Dom does. We hit all the notes, Dom?
Last thing about the podcast, you can find us on Patreon, actually.
Nice.
Or patreon.com/characterville. Every little bit helps. We're still getting the extras sorted out, but the extra money will help us cover site costs, getting to conventions to meet more people, because like we said, networking and being a pal is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And just getting different stuff for to get this whole gem going. And that is actually all of the social media stuff. We finally did it. We're hashtag professional. Professional. and again, we want to extend the thanks again to you, Paul. We really appreciate your time. Glad you could make
worries.
It.
Yeah, no worries.
And and thank you, listeners, for listening to another one. We hope it was awesome. I mean, we think it is, or else we wouldn't release it.
sorry about all the like weird technical issues like at the start and like in the middle somewhere where... It just all went wrong for me.
Hey, if it's funny, we'll leave it in. If it's not, we'll take it out. That's the magic of MP3s. Hey, well, thanks again. And listeners, until next time, see you later.
Bye.